Jeremiah 33. Okay, everybody's got it? Okay, let's read Jeremiah 33. Ready? Let's read. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He's saying, call unto me. And he's talking about in prayer, okay? Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And so that's what we're going to do. Our apostle has been teaching us that when you hear and receive revelation, you seal it with prayer. Yes. Amen? Yes. So let's stand, and we're going to pray. Glory to God. He said to call, so we're going to call. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Online students, you are to join us also. Read Jeremiah 33 and 3, and let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, we do acknowledge you. We do invite you. We do welcome you. Help us to pray. We're so thankful. You hear, Lord God. You hear, Lord God. You hear, Lord God. We're calling. You hear, Lord God. Show us, Lord God. Glory, hallelujah. Show us the great and the mighty things, Lord God. You hear, Lord God. Quicken our ears to hear you, Lord. Quicken our eyes to see, Lord God. You hear, Lord God. You hear. Quicken our hearts. Quicken our minds to understand and to receive, Lord God. Oh, Rabba Hashaya. Alalala Mahanda Rabaki here. Ha ha ha. Glory to God. Glory to God. Great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Because you are a great and you are a mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Shalala Maho Lala Haya. Alalala Mahanda Rabaki here. Irede Rabba Kashanda Rabakaha. We thank you. Glory, hallelujah, Lord. Shalala bahaha. Shalala bahaha. Shalala bahaha. Ama baba 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 baka ndebe de. Ama baba baba baka shanda baka ye ye here. E de 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 de. E de 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 de. Ah la 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 baha shanda baka ye ye here. We love you, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Glory, hallelujah. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. We so thankful, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We're so grateful. Hallelujah. We appreciate you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We appreciate what you're saying, Lord God. We appreciate what you're doing, Lord God. We don't take it lightly, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. We don't take it lightly, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for the great. And we thank you for the mighty things, Lord God. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Y'all can have a seat. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Amen, amen, amen. I was saying before some of you came in, next week is our exam number two. There are a couple things we're going to do tonight. One, we're going to try to review rather than start that other chapter. I'll give you the information about the next chapter, but we're going to be reviewing some of the things that will be on your exam. It says here, exam two, March the 9th through the 15th. Is that correct? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. It was so good to see so many of you. Let's see, it was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Amen. Hallelujah. It was just good. I was looking around, and I saw so many of the students in that meeting that God called through our apostle. Amen. And we did receive, and we are not the same. We've been changed. Hallelujah. I mean, apostle said, it's our time. Amen. And we have to receive that. It's our divine time. Amen. All right. For your study, let's see, most of your questions will probably come from chapter 6 and maybe like the end of chapter 5, because I think that's where we started after the other exam. It was almost at the end of that chapter. And then chapter 6. And then don't forget the video February the 4th. You will have a few questions on there. I think there was one or two on the quiz after that. So if you want to go back and look at the quiz, quiz questions are usually pretty good, because I look at those and then I select, and sometimes I have to restructure some of those because I realized that some of them weren't as clear. Matter of fact, I got a message from one of the online students, and she was saying, well, it wasn't clear. And, you know, actually, in the way she said it, you know, if you read it that way, you know, it could have been true. But, you know, I intended for it to be false. So I had to go with false. Amen. But I'll try to do a little bit better on the exam. The quizzes are different. I don't think they count. They're just to verify that our online students are actually watching and that they're actually listening and they're participating. Online students are participating. But it's the exams that will count, so I'll try to do a little bit better in structuring the questions. If you have any notes or anything on chapter 6, remember we were talking about prayer obstacles. Remember that? Wait, first of all, do y'all have any questions? Let me ask, anybody's got any questions at all about anything that we've covered so far? No questions? Okay, all right. Our author, he listed the four main obstacles. He said one of them was you do not ask, or you ask for the wrong thing. He talked about spousal abuse. And then he talked about a lot about skepticism or doubt and unforgiveness. Okay, y'all remember that? Okay, so it's just, you know, he was talking about sometimes, you know, we want to just pray our selfish desires or intentions They're for self-gratification. But, you know, we know that what we want to ask for has got to be in line with the Word of God. Amen? Now, I did underline a couple things in that spousal thing. He says he says Paul teaches that women should submit to their husbands, and if she does not, it is considered a form of rebellion against God. That's important. It's considered rebellion against God. Now, if a husband mistreats his wife and refuses to love her as she needs to be loved, and perhaps go so far as to physically, verbally, emotionally abuse her, it's considered a form of disobedience. So you notice the author said that for the woman, it's rebellion, but for the man, it's disobedience. But it's all, towards God, right? It's not towards the person. Isn't that amazing? You know, we think it's towards the person, but it's not towards the person. It's all towards God. Amen. And then we looked a lot at doubt. We said that doubt means to be without direction, without resources, in a bind, perplexed, in doubt, confused, in hopelessness, anxious, and unsteady regarding the path one should take. And when we looked at some of those in a little bit more detail, and then your author goes in detail. You don't need me to read all of that for you. Amen. I think I gave y'all Hebrews 11 and 6. We cannot pray and ask God for anything if we're in doubt of his existence. And we looked at that, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he is, amen? Must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Doubt enters our hearts when we fix our eyes on our circumstances, remember? Instead of on Jesus. When we doubt, faith leaves and fear strolls in. Doubt is nothing more than believing what the enemy can do against us instead of what God has already done through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we want to get rid of the doubt. And then we spend a good bit of time on the unforgiveness as one of the obstacles to our prayer. Many believers try to masquerade their unforgiveness with statements such as, I was offended, or I only feel resentment towards him or her, or I'm only angry or bothered, or I have something against that person, or I feel hurt. We looked at Mark 11, 25 and 26. The word of God is clear on this matter of forgiving. Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Amen. And then he talked about being angry with our brother. We looked at Matthew 5:22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Unforgiveness, offenses, hurts, wounds, and resentment are the guillotine to our prayers, meaning it cut them off. Amen? Cut them off. And I wrote in parentheses, let it go. Heaven will be like bronze. Unforgiveness breaks our relationship with God. We're unable to hear. God is unable to hear our prayer if we harbor something against our brother. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, yeah. What happens when we don't forgive? The author said, the word tells us that we will be turned over to our torturers when we don't forgive. You know, this is the reason, you know, sometimes there are things that we encounter, things that we go through, you know, because we're holding on to resentment. We're holding on to unforgiveness, anger towards our brother or our sister. Amen? Amen. These are, talking about the torturers, he says these are demons and the consequences that we must face. And he names a few. He says poverty, wretchedness, sickness, sickness, sickness sometimes, amen, not all the time, sometimes, depression, among too many to mention. Through sin, we give the enemy legal rights to destroy us. Anger, resentment, bitterness, and hate follow the cycle of unforgiveness, meaning it starts with unforgiveness. It starts there. And then all of these other things can follow. So it is just so important, you know, for us to walk in love. You know, if you listen to the tape from Sunday, you know, tonight, you know, in a few minutes ago, not long ago, you know, that's what Apostle was saying. You know, when he was talking about manifestation. I mean, that was really good, wasn't it? It was really, really good. But I mean, you know, and when he said, you know, how to manifest, you know, again, my mind went to the thing that I'm believing God for automatically. That's what it went to. But, you know, he says, you know, how did Jesus manifest? How did God manifest? You know, and when he said those two words, loving and giving. Amen. I think y'all gonna see that again. Now, I don't mind, but just remember that. Loving and giving. And he took you to that simple little verse that we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. Amen. And you know, if we want to see more manifestations, it is time. You know, it's our time. It really and truly is. It is our time. God has been preparing us. He has been preparing us for this time. Apostle also talked about alignment and assignment. Amen. So remember those words. Remember loving and giving and alignment and assignment. Amen. Because God has given each and every one of us an assignment. There are some people who will not be saved unless you minister to them. It's some. Okay. Sometimes it's in our family. Sometimes it's on the job. You know, you just never know. You just never know. And that's what ministry is. When Apostle was sharing all that, man, I went back to a Vacation Bible School lesson years and years and years ago, and they were talking about what is the definition of ministry. And you know, we all think it's just the preacher in the pulpit. You know, that's what you always think, you know, who's teaching the word of God, preaching the word of God. But we minister every day. We minister with our lives. Amen. There are people who are watching us. There are people, I mean, some of them, just by watching you, they're being ministered to. You know, it's amazing. The job that I'm on right now, I haven't been there very long. Probably about, what, 5-6 years? But anyway, I work around a lot of younger people, you know, and they might start cursing, you know, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, Miss Joanne. And it's like, okay, but what is it about me that they'll tell me, I'm sorry, Miss Joanne, but I have a coworker who is the same age as me, a little bit older than me, and they never say I'm sorry to them? Because I guess, number one, I don't curse. I try to live the life before them, and I don't mind telling them, you know, well, you know, the Bible say, you know, and, you know, I just don't mind doing it. You know, sometimes odd, you know, depending on where you are, but I guess I've gotten past that too. Just being odd, just being strange, just being really, really strange. But wherever you are, that's what this is all about. Wherever you are, wherever you go, God has given you a ministry. It's not going to be like apostles. Amen. It's not going to be like that. You are unique. There's only one of you. There's just one of you, and he wants to use you, and he has an assignment for you. And through prayer and study of the word, God is going to begin to reveal to each and every one of you, what is your part? What is your assignment? And sometimes you're going to be just like I was when he said, you're going to teach that class. It's like, I mean, my knees were buckling, you know, it really and truly was. But I didn't give it too much thought. I said, okay. You know, just like that. Normally, I would have, you sure it's me, you know, all of that. But I have learned, you know, when you have been an apostle for as many years as I've been under him, anything goes, anytime, you know, what you have to do is be ready. Just be ready. Just keep yourself. I mean, I'm not the only one. I see some other people in here too. You know, when the call came and when the call come, just be ready to answer. I mean, because we have learned that it's not about us. Amen. And that God, if God puts you on your man or your woman of God's heart, God is there to help you do whatever it is that he is calling you to do. He will never leave you. He will never leave you by yourself. Amen. Remember when we started the class, we were talking about he's not looking for talented people. He's looking for people who are just faithful. Just faithful people. That's all he needs. Just a faithful person who's willing to say, you know, here am I. Send me. You know, that's all. That's all he's looking for. Amen. Let's see. And that was just about the main things. I do encourage you to read the chapter, because you're going to get so much more just from reading the chapters on your own. Now that the message of the February 4th, mysteries, secrets, rhythms, and timings in the spirit realm. Remember, just he was teaching us about the importance of praying in the spirit. And there were some just things that just made you excited about being able to pray in the spirit, about having received that gift. I'm not going to go over all of those. But one of the things that I had a little highlight by, there is a secret for every dilemma. There is a secret for every dilemma. Anytime the enemy comes at you with any attack, anything, there is a secret. And it's hidden from the enemy. It's not hidden from God. Wants you to know it. Amen. But you have to spend time praying in the spirit so that God can reveal that secret to you. And what is the secret? How to get out. Amen. Whatever the dilemma is, the secret is how to get out. And he wants to reveal it to you. Amen. All right. Okay. That's all I had just in terms of review. Your exam will be online. I think it's Tuesday. I usually just send them to Diana and she posts it for me. All right. We're going to begin to look at what the author calls how to pray for 1 hour using different types of prayer. He starts off that people say, oh, I'll start off praying, but I can't pray long. And if you're trying to pray in your understanding, you're not going to be able to pray long. You know, you're going to say, Lord, bless me, bless mama, bless daddy, bless, you know, Lord, give, Lord, help, Lord, you know, and then you're going to run out. I mean, you will run out. I'll give you 15, 20 minutes. You know, you're just going to run out. But what he's teaching us in this chapter is how to pray for 1 hour using different types of prayer. Now, there are some types that he has that, you know, I haven't heard of, but that's okay. Amen. We learning. Most of these I have seen in other books by other authors, and we'll be going over that. I'll give you tonight the list of the prayers, and let's just see. Amen. The 12 prayers that our author gives. Number one, the praise and worship prayer. Number two, the prayer of petition or supplication. Now, other authors have separated petition and supplication. They say the prayer of petition and the prayer of supplication. Number three, the prayer of intercession. Now, we know a little bit about that because we looked at that in the book already. Ezekiel, 22 and 30, I believe. I sought for a man to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. Y'all remember that? A little bit? Okay. Number four, the prayer of consecration or dedication. Five, the prayer of thanksgiving. Six, now this one, yeah, I hadn't heard of this one. The prayer of waiting upon God. Now, that's kind of hard for those of us from Word of Life Christian Center because our apostle is telling us now. Amen. He's telling us now, and our author is saying the prayer of waiting upon God. Now, that word wait, but I have also heard it, it's not waiting like waiting. I mean, like time waiting. It's waiting like serving God. You know what I'm saying? That's, well, we'll find out. I'm not going to tell you. We'll find out when we get to it. Seven, the prayer of, well, he says bind and loosen, but we say binding and loosening. Okay, binding and loosening. The prayer of agreement, these two I've heard of. Now, then he's got another one, number nine, the prayer of wisdom and revelation. You know, it's like, okay, all right. Yeah, I'll take it too. And number 10, he calls it corporal prayer. We call it corporate prayer. Amen. That means all of us coming together like we did tonight. And we're praying as a corporate body. This one I hadn't heard of, the prophetic prayer. Prophetic prayer. Now, we had prophetic praise on Sunday. They didn't show y'all that on the tape, ha ha. But we had prophetic praise, we had prophetic songs. It was something, y'all. And then the last one, the prayer of praise and worship again. And what the author is saying is that you begin with praise and worship and you end with praise and worship. Amen? Amen. I mean, I learned that, you know, years back. And that was just so good. You know, you're praising God for who he is and you're thanking him for all the things that he's done. And then when you pray, when you have presented your petitions, your supplications, your intercessions, then you say, thank you. You're going to praise him at the end. You're going to worship him at the end that you have the answer. You know, based on 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hear us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of him. And so we say thank you. Amen. Amen. That's the way our author is saying, beginning and the ending. I have no idea what time. How much? About 13 minutes. Okay. Let me just give you a couple things about the praise and worship prayer. He says, this kind of prayer is used to worship God for what, and I did a slash, who he is and for what he does. Okay? Now, this is the type of prayer that our apostle has been encouraging us more and more, praise and worship. See, we think praise and worship is just singing. It's just it's a song. But, you know, you praise and you worship in prayer, lifting your hands, thanking God. I think I do a much better job when I close my eyes, you know, because I'm not looking around. I'm not distracted. And my mind is just on him. You don't have to do that. Some people can do it, you know, with their eyes open. For me, I'm just saying for me, you know, it's better for me when I close my eyes. You should begin your prayer with a time of praise and worship. Every time you decide to pray, every time, not sometime, every time, you know, if it's no more, Lord, I thank you, you know, Lord, I thank you, Lord, I praise you, all honor, all glory, all praise, all blessing, all thanksgiving, I give it to you, amen, amen. You should begin to exalt God's greatness when he's talking about praise and worship, exalting his greatness. What is praise? Praise means to honor, glorify, admire, and celebrate God's goodness and wonderful works. The more you exalt and magnify God through praise, look at this, the happier you will be. And your understanding of Him will intensify and deepen, and your spirit will be lifted. You will be overwhelmed to such an extreme that you will begin to boast and brag about your God. Your praise will make you noisy, loud, and outspoken. Amen. Talk about your praise. Your praise will cause that to happen. You know, my aunt says that she is, she says, well, you know, I'm not loud. But, you know, every now and then she'll belt out a hallelujah, you know, because that's what praising God will make you do. You will begin to express what He is and who He is. It will seem as if you have lost your mind for an instant. In real praise, true praise. Amen. You will begin to resemble a person who's outside of yourself, as if you had too much to drink and simply lost all self-control. Amen. Let's look at 2 Samuel. This is David. Y'all all know this already. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Amen. So this is the first prayer that we're looking at. And he does a whole lot more with this prayer that we're going to go more into detail. But 2 Samuel chapter 6 and let's read verses. We're going to start with 13 to 16 and then we're going to jump down, but I'll let you know. So 2 Samuel 6, 13 to 16. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sanctified oxen and fatlings. 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with the linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Let's jump down to verse 20, and we're going to look at verses 20 through 22. Verse 20, then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, that's the way she said it, you know, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows. Shamelessly uncovered himself. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. Verse 22, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Meaning these people who you say are going to be talking about me and laughing at me, that's the people who are going to be honoring me. Because look at what God has done for me. Amen. Amen. So David danced before the Lord. He praised God for what God had done. Amen. And we're going to be to that point. We're going to be more vile than this. Amen. When the manifestations start coming through, because we've been loving and we've been giving, and then God is going to start manifesting.
manifesting in our... It's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen. My apostle said it's going to happen. Yeah. Amen. It's going to happen. Watch and see. And guess what he told us? It won't be long. He said it won't be long. Amen. Amen. Y'all be blessed. Have a good night. Your exam will be online. Any questions, by the way? Any questions about the exam or anything? No? Amen.
Thank you, man. Mm-hmm.